The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Well, welcome to another final hooter. My name's Adrian Jackson. I'm joined by David Parkinson.
Hello. Good to be here as always. We've got plenty to talk about, haven't we, over the next, 40, 50 minutes coming up. And I reckon that we've had a lot of incident happening over the last couple of weeks in the world of rugby league, and we'll be summarising the lot, won't we?
Hi, this is Brad Fiddler, and you're listening to The Final Hooter with Adrian Jackson.
I'm sorry, I had to put that one in. And you know what, he promised me when we re-recorded that, he name-checked you and he hasn't.
What's he doing? You know, I'm going to have words again. It's getting beyond the joke now.
Cost me a fortune ringing him up and getting to record that as well.
Yeah, and I didn't know you could play the drums like that either.
I'm a man of many talents.
Right, tell us anything.
Shall we kick on, shall we? Plenty to talk about between now and the end of this show on the Final Hooter. Coming up, as always, we've got our ugly, good and bad.
The good, the bad and the ugly.
Know,
other people say
I'd
that, don't they?
I just thought I'd mix it up.
You know what happened last time? We got confused with the order, didn't we?
We did. We're going to hear from Paul Rowley, not just once, but twice. We've got a Paul Rowley double header on the way. In Coach's Corner, Betts and Wayne go head-to-head. And we've got a player catch-up in Danny Jones. Now, from the last Final Hooter to this one, we've had one round of Super League, one round of Championship and Championship One, and the Challenge Cup as well.
We certainly have, yeah. It's been a busy old time, hasn't it? You know, knockout rugby galore, onwards to the quarter-finals of the Challenge Cup. And as you mentioned, things hotting up, I should say, both at the top and bottom of the relevant competitions. You know, we've gone for the Rochdale Hornets angle, shall we say, because they've really turned around their form over recent weeks. They're currently sitting in ninth spot in the Championship, which would keep them safe. Sadly, down at the bottom of Championship 1, we've got South Wales Scorpions propping up the rest. And then we've got this intriguing semi-relegation battle that's taking place in Super League, haven't we, with Bradford turning the form around. And I feel I should offer an apology, really, to Bulls fans, because in the last one of these Final Hooters, I actually said, didn't I, about they wouldn't win and they get knocked out of the cup, and they've made me eat my words, because they beat Catalan and then they beat Warrington.
They have made everyone eat their words, because ever since they turned it round, the form's just been on fire.
It has, yeah. They played some really good stuff as well, some very expansive rugby, and nice to see Lee Gaskell getting a run at a different position and making a real fist of it.
Let's talk about the good, the bad and the ugly, shall we? First of all, in the good, the Rugby League Wags, that's wives and girlfriends to me, and you're raising over £40,000 on a charity hike around Yorkshire, proving it's not just all about the makeup.
And what a great great charity as well.
Yeah, it's the Three Peaks Challenge in Yorkshire, and the actual charity they were walking for is Life for a Kid, and their organisation raises money to buy life changing equipment for kids. And the actual challenge was 111 women in total, not just rugby league player wives and girlfriends. And they said players then.
Well, they might have been players. We might have been having the women's rugby league going up there.
But the Rugby League Wags were led by Jenny Brough. So well done, Jenny. And yeah, if you're wondering who Jenny Brough is, it's Danny Brough's wife.
Yeah, now everybody usually talks about Danny Brough, don't they, and his kicking game. But certainly with Jenny there, she's whipped all them women into shape and got them going doing that challenge. Well,
probably
done.
Danny's got a bit of a nasty head as well, hasn't he? So she probably would have said to him, listen, if you don't agree to it, I'll get Danny to come round.
They would have laughed at him.
No, he can't do that. Also on the good, it's great to see International Rugby League back on their calendar, finally, after the World Cup. So Australia played New Zealand and Fiji played Samoa. We'll tell you about the games in general, but it just proved down under attendances. Prove there is interest down under, despite one certain Aussie guy that I'm not going to name check because I don't want to say no one's interested in the Samoa or Fiji game. Well, 9,000 people turned up, so that shows you there's interest there. And in the game between Australia and New Zealand, there was 25,500.
And also, you've not mentioned country origin and city origin, which is the big hit out for who goes to play for New South Wales. And there was over 9,500 of that over the weekend. So it just shows that they love the representative rugby, don't they, in Australia?
It's not just about the NRL, like they seem to think that's all it's about. There are people out there that prefer other avenues of rugby league.
Certainly, yeah. And I think when you look at the Fiji side as well, they're a developing nation, aren't they? So they need as much international rugby as they can get.
In the bad, attendances in Championship 1, just over 120 people turned up for the last Gloucestershire All Golds fixture. Bit embarrassing, that one, really, isn't it, when you think about it? But what can be done to increase crowds in that tier of rugby league? Because if you look at the last four games in Championship 1, they must have just over 1,200 between them.
It's a problem around the leagues, to be honest, isn't it? It's not just a Championship 1 problem, it's also a problem in the Championship of getting the people through the gate. I suppose if I had an answer for it, Adrian, I'd be earning a shed load more money than I actually do at the minute. And I don't know whether they need to, look at, formations with clubs or, offers and trying to... I mean, a good one would actually be clubs paying to get supporters coming in, which would, they could go to the, Gloucestershire played against Hemel. They could say to Hemel, right, go and sell a couple of coach loads of tickets. You get them down here, we'll pay for the coaches.
Could be something worth trying. Might ring the gum up and maybe suggest it.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I'm sure they'd take you on.
Also in the bad, the scheduling of the Challenge Cup. Now, we love the Challenge Cup. I love the romance of it. I love the winner-takes-all situation that it's conjured up by the Challenge Cup. But sadly, the scheduling is not doing its justice, is it, really, to be honest? 6 to 7 weeks in between rounds is not really helping the Cup build any interest.
I wondered where you was going with that, because I know that they're looking at the scheduling of the Challenge Cup anyway, aren't they? And they're looking to see whether or not to move it back towards the start of the season it would be, so they have a May time final. I mean, traditionally the Challenge Cup was always played in May, wasn't it? So I think when they moved it away, yeah, did it lose a little bit of its edge in some respects?
Well, you think about it, we had the Challenge Cup rounds in the last round, in the middle of the end of April, as such. Yeah. Now, the next stage of the quarterfinals are in June.
You're heading into the second week in June as well, aren't you? So there is quite a lot of time. And you're right.
People lose interest. They move on to other things.
So how would you do it? Would you sort of clump them all together?
I just basically take a month out of Super League and the Championship and say, right, we're playing the Challenge Cup rounds now in that four-week spell. Build up the interest and then have a break to have the league games and then carry on with the Challenge Cup.
What are you going to do when the semi-professional teams get knocked out, though? Because they obviously need money coming in a lot more than Super League clubs.
But they go back to the league games.
Really? So you
I haven't thought this one through, but it sounded good.
It's only good at first of all, yeah, but I suppose this is what the sort of conversations that people around the rugby league will be having as well, won't they? Where somebody wakes up in the morning saying, I've got a great idea. It's like a eureka moment. And then somebody has a look at it and says, that won't work.
No, not really, no. Okay, in the Oogly, well, that's one thing that's going to rumble on. And I know there are plans in place to have a real good reformat of the Challenge Cup. It would be interesting to see what comes out the Ivory Towers of the RFL regarding the Challenge Cup. In the Oogly, Feversham Rovers' decision to replace John Bastigan after only 12 games in charge. What's happened to giving the coach enough time to do the job?
12 games.
It's
nothing.
I wouldn't mind. He won over 70% of those games.
Yeah, he's won 8 of the 12 games in charge. Now, usually, that if he can average that sort of percentage throughout a coaching career, blimey, he'll be in... really, everybody will be after him, won't they?
I mean, I don't know why Feversham are panicked, to be honest, because nothing's gained by winning the championship title this year. It's all about next year.
No, you're wrong there. It's money. It's money. They've banked, haven't they? But hang on.
So they're suggesting, because they got beat by Lee in the Cup and then in the league the week after, they think they're not going to do anything under John Bastion. Is that what they're suggesting? Though?
Well, they seem to suggest that. But,
early days.
John Bastion was given the opportunity of going there. He's replaced Daryl Powell, and Powell was brilliant for Featherstone Rovers. Let's make no bones about it. He was there 4 years in that time. They did giant killing acts in the Cup. They won several trophies of their own. They finished top of the league for the last 4 years, for goodness sake, as well. But I just get the feeling the times are changing, really, at Featherstone Rovers. And maybe, shall we say, patience is a little bit in short supply. I think they're trying to do a Salford of the Championship, aren't they, by coming out with these big statements. I mean, another ugly thing regarding Featherstone Rovers, as well as the whole John Bastion situation, was they've managed to turn an opportunity of putting the club on the front foot in announcing something regarding incoming investors into something really ugly. I mean, just as an example, I'm not going to read the whole thing because, you know, it is like a bit of a rant, to be honest. But, you know, I'm just sort of thinking about here, following years of patience in the championship. You don't start a statement by saying following years of patience. Who do you think they are? And then also they name check Lee in there. Now, are they acknowledging that Lee are a much better side than Featherstone?
Well, they obviously are, because that's why they decided John Bastion's not the man to take them forward.
Now, also as well, he says there's no egos at Featherstone Rovers. You wouldn't have thought that reading the statement, in all honesty. So I don't know. I think that they've got to be really careful, because the clubs have put statements out like this, and statements of intent, and yes, it is a statement of intent, but it's not how I would have worded it, and I think that a lot of Featherstone fans will be embarrassed at the situation unfolding there at the Big Fellas.
Watch it progress, shall we say. Another ugly before we do talk about rugby league in general, Leeds Jamie Acton. Now this shows you how tough the DR are in rugby league.
Hang on, I know he's a big fella, but don't go calling him ugly.
He ended up in the hospital before the game against Featherstone in the league, and he had to have a cyst on his tonsils removed, but amazingly, played the day after.
Yeah, apparently he was given the option by his coach of sitting the game out, and he said no, he's wanted to play. Now that for me is going the extra mile, isn't it? But you know, when you get assist in that sort of area, it can be quite dangerous, really, can't it?
Quite ugly when you think about it.
Which is why you put it in the ugly section.
Exactly, but just shows you how tough they are in rugby league, that he managed to get up and have a big game for Lee in the league game at the Big Fella Stadium.
Yeah, and I suppose with Wayne Rooney, if he twists his sock, he's out for a week, isn't he?
Yes. Okay, let's move away from that part, shall we, and talk about the action. Before we talk about the league, let's talk about the Chance Cup, and there were some big games in the Chance Cup, as always, and some intriguing ties as well.
There certainly was, yeah. I mean, certainly the pick of the ones that I came up with, I already name-checked it before, but Bradford 33, Catalan 20, and that was a great day, particularly for Jamie Foster. He scored two tries, kicked six goals. Luke Gale chipped in with a drop goal. There was also tries from Lee Gaskell, Luke Gale, and Adrian Pertell. Catalan, they couldn't cope with the improved effort, shall we say, of the Bradford Bulls. They had tries from Millard, Pomeroy, Alima and Oldfield, but they were no match. I also thought as well that Leeds Rhinos' performance against St Helens was an outstanding game from them, to be honest. They really looked the main deal this season, don't they, Leeds?
Look really strong as well. St Helens really struggles to deal with Leeds Rhinos, and then that back line for Leeds is just an outstanding talent, isn't it? And when you've got that talent outside, they're going to score plenty of points. 32-12 against St Helens, which ended the Saints' hopes of reaching Wembley for another year. And then another Super League club bit the dust as well, as Widnes Vikings overcame Salford Red Devils 30 points to 20.
Yeah, and again, Widnes looked like they were coasting in that one, didn't they? They were really comfortable not that long after half time. They had tries from Galea, Brown, Hanbury grabbed a couple, and Lloyd White got in on the act as well. But there was a bit of a fight back in the second half, led by Gareth Hawk, wasn't there, for Salford? But it proved too little too late.
Sadly, it was the end of the road for Huntsford and Sheffield as they fell quite heavily to Wigan Warriors. Huntsford losing 52-8. Sheffield went in vain and maybe causing a bit of an upset, but Casford proving they're a tough deal at home this year.
Definitely, yeah. Justin Carney going over for four tries there. Max Needs having a great influence on the way that they're playing. He kicked four goals and was involved in several of the tries. But a big shout for Doncaster, who, despite putting in a lot of effort, they got nilled at Warrington. Kevin Penny scoring a hat-trick on his return to the Wolves. He's been running in the points and the tries for Swinton over the course of the season so far. And I suppose that just leaves the two games between the old Championship boys, doesn't it?
Yeah, our team Leeds. Our team, Leeds Centurions, were carrying the baton for us on our road to Wembley into round five. It was the Championship showdown between them and Featherstone, and Leeds Centurions came through that challenge with the victory.
Yeah, good result as well. Big hat-trick there from Ryan Briley. Always seems to step up when it comes to good opposition this season. It was a really entertaining game, wasn't it? Played on a gorgeous afternoon.
Was a gorgeous afternoon. This is what happened when me and David sat in the dugouts at the Leeds Centurions rugby league ground. But when we reaches round five for us, David, and here we are in the dugout at Leeds Centurions.
it's been a glorious day, hasn't it, as well? The sun has shone, and certainly shone on the Centurions, but what a top-quality game we saw. I mean, people were talking before, weren't they, about Super League clubs coming out against each other. We've seen the best of the Championship, and it's come out with a rugby league humdinger, really, hasn't it?
Certainly was. Lee Centurions have got to this stage by defeating Wigan St Patrick's and Rochdale Hornets, but today Feversham Rovers proved to be a different challenge, but the Centurions came through to fly the flag for us into the quarterfinals.
Yeah, completely different challenge. They've spent quite a bit of money, haven't they, Featherstone, on putting together that squad. They brought some players in, they've really been going great guns in the Championship, currently sit second in the table to Lee. As you mentioned, you know, Lee had to get away from the blocks quickly. They scored after 46 seconds and that basically set them on the run, but Featherstone really come back to it and gave it the Centurions, didn't they? They scored three tries after that to make it 12-6, and but for some unfortunate wayward kicking from Moore, it could have been a bit closer, couldn't it?
Terrific hat-trick for Ryan Brawley, and he certainly is the man of the moment for Lee Centurions.
Oh, he is, yeah. You put him into a gap, he finishes it for you. You know, it doesn't matter whereabouts he is on the field. If he sees half a gap, he's gone through it. He's like a knife through butter. But I think there's a lot more to his game as well. Everybody's talking about his try scoring, and why not? He's gone over the line 20 tries already this season, but it's just his general play which seems to be picking up, and the way that he's developing, he's taking that Lee side forward, and it was noticeable when Martin Ridyard went off that he stepped up to the fore and really guided Lee home, didn't he?
It is our second time here at the Lee Sports Village, and like I said, we're in the dugout. It's not a bad dugout, is it?
Yeah, are you settling in? Have you managed to, you know, feed your pasty pastry addiction yet?
Oh yes, I've had my pie and it was lovely.
Oh good, good. So we're not going to be talking about it on whichever Wednesday this gets broadcast on then. Good, good, good. But yeah, I mean, it's a magnificent setting, isn't it, the Sports Village? And it's one of those venues that, I mean, we get to go to Warrington and Widnes pretty often. I know you're a fairly regular visitor at St Helens. It would stand the test of time, wouldn't it, of going up and being on a level playing field with those venues. You know, it is great. And as you mentioned, these dugouts, they tend to keep out all the elements.
Well, these Centurions are going to join Keith Lee Cougars in the quarter-final of the Tetley's Challenge Cup. And let's hear from the winning coach, Paul Rowley. Paul Rowley, it was the battle of the Championship in the Challenge Cup today, and thankfully for Lee Centurions, you come out on top.
Yeah, we did, and the dream continues. You know, we're in the Challenge Cup quarterfinals, which is a significant achievement for the club and the players in particular. So we're delighted to be sat there and still kicking about with all the big guns. You know, they sit your Leeds's and your Wiggins of this world. So it's wonderful to be lining up alongside those guys in the hat for the next round.
What was the key to success today?
I think the key to success is belief and spirit and mentality, and that showed in that 8-minute period. We defended our line at the beginning of the second half. We had the game plan to win. We've got the personnel, and we knew that. But sometimes you've got to just revert back to some good old fashioned team spirit and heart and commitment, and we had that in abundance.
Got us a flying start, but Featherstone, as we expected, did come back at you, and it was all level at half time.
It was, yeah, and at half time I felt that we'd we'd underperformed, and we was drawing. I thought, I even thought at the end of the game, we've got another 30% to give us as a team, and we'll work hard on the back of this win today and try and kick on and go a step further. I do believe we've got a lot more in us, but you know, in games like that, it's in the hand of the gods sometimes. We've done all our preparation through the week. I influence as much as a coach can from a sideline, obviously, but to a point, it's in the hands of the gods and who's up for it most, who wants it most, and maybe a little bit of lady luck here and there.
How crucial was it for you guys to score first in that second half?
Yeah, I think what it did was on occasions we found our mojo. We had it last week, you know, and when we do find the mojo, we're pretty irresistible as a team. You know, we're pretty sharp and we can play some good rugby, which takes a lot of stopping. So the crucial try, yeah, like you said, just give us that belief and helped us relax into it and started having a little bit more fun on the back of it.
So you enjoyed yourselves out there, and it's great to see the league public turn out in numbers as well.
Well, just short of 4,000 on a sunny day, all dressed in red and white. It's pretty impressive, and shows what a big club we are, and we're progressing, and you know, we've got a progressive team on the field, progressive team off the field, and you know, we're good for the town. The town's proud of the rugby, and you know, we're glad to carry that baton forward.
Cup dream's still alive. Looking forward to the quarter final. Good luck in that.
Absolutely, it's does no harm dreaming, and like I said, we're in there kicking and quarter final. Good achievement. Do we want it to stop there? Not at all. So we're still striding forward with momentum, and we're still undefeated, which is important.
It's important, and then they do enter the quarter final where they're going to be drawn against Leeds Rhinos. But David, you got the rest of the draw.
I knew you was going to come to me with that. Yes, it's Widnes taking on Keighley Cougars, who had a great victory over Swinton Lions. Leeds Rhinos host Lee Centurions, which it will certainly be a test of an unbeaten record, won't it? Because Leeds have been going really, really well within the Super League competition. Then on the Saturday, June the 7th, we've got Wigan Warriors against Castleford Tigers. And Sunday, Bradford Bulls against Warrington Wolves. And all four of those games are being televised. Two of them on Sky Sports, that's the Widnes and the Leeds games, and the other two on BBC, that's Wigan and Bradford.
Some interesting ties to look forward to in June, but let's talk about the league, shall we? And then Super League, some cracking games in Rugby League.
Awesome.
What round are we up to? Is it round 11, 12?
We've just had round 11, right. And obviously Wigan and Widnes are a round behind everybody else because of Wigan's involvement in the World Club Challenge. But here are some of the results in the Catalan Dragons. I mean, they've managed to get a 37-24 win for the second time running now. You wouldn't bet on that scoreline, would you?
In fact,
to be honest, we shouldn't be talking about rugby league and betting, should we, considering what's gone on fairly recently. Huddersfield Giants, they pip Castleford in the very last minute with a drop goal, which, you know, the boot's on the other foot this week, isn't it? Because a couple of weeks ago we were talking about how St Helens had won against Huddersfield in the Cup and ended the Cup dreams. We also saw Leeds Rhinos come out really dominant again and win against Wigan Warriors. Now, I know that a lot of Wiganers that I know have actually said this was a close game. I didn't feel it was a close game. I thought that Leeds had it all the way through, to be honest. And when you've got a fullback who can run for over 200 metres, you've got Jamie Peacock up front who runs for 200 metres. Jeez. You know, there's
he's got a good future ahead of him, is Jamie Peacock, hasn't he?
Yeah. I reckon he could
do something. Not a bad young lad.
I reckon he could do something in the game. But seriously, he is... you know, playing at the very top of his game at the moment, isn't he, Jamie? I would have no qualms about picking him for an England squad. It's just a pity that he's announced his international retirement, isn't it?
Big win for Widnes Vikings, by the way, and that for me is the pick of the performances of the week.
When you go to a venue that you've not won at for, what was it, 21 years?
Game looked done and dusted in there, and Travis Burns got the drop kick, Widnes chasing the game, but somehow conjured up enough energy and strength to get two late tries to get the victory.
Such an exciting game and a really good finish as well, wasn't it? And I think to come up with that just speaks a lot of Widnes' character. I've spoken a lot of that already this season, and while I've kind of like leveled criticism at Widnes over the last couple of years and the fact that at times they seem to have rolled over and died, that seems to have gone out with the arc now, doesn't it? And now we've got a much more steelier Widnes side who will always fight to the end.
Well, two things. It was away and it was on grass as well.
Yeah. Obviously, Widnes don't play on grass these days. They just train on the grass occasionally. but you know, Hull Kingston Rovers, they're also one of those sides that I picked a couple of weeks ago, as their results seem to have been turning around over the last few weeks. So for Widnes to go there, it's doubly important for them to claim the win. And also Kevin Brown getting another hat-trick. He's really amongst the tries this year, isn't he?
Yeah, rumours are, although a few people are hoping maybe he might get a nod for England in the Four Nations.
I'm hoping that he gets another extended contract for Widnes, first of all.
Well, but plenty of people are. Just no mention of Kevin Brown or Hep Cahill at the minute.
Yeah. I mean, you know, both of those players really important to the way that Widnes play, but it might be a good outside shout, that, to be honest, getting Kevin Brown in for England.
Possibly, you never know. You don't know what Steve McManara's looking at while he's over in Australia. So
he's looking at Australians.
He probably is.
He's probably thumbing, as we're speaking and as we're recording this, he's probably thumbing his way through birth certificates.
Okay, our man Steve Mann's been rather busy this week as he caught up with a very happy Dennis Betts after Widnes so off the challenge of Hawkinson Rovers and Sean Wayne. He'd been a bit down in the dumps after that defeat at the hands of Leeds Rhinos.
Well, Dennis, what a fantastic win at OKR on Sunday.
It was an outstanding performance to go over to Hull and to win that game after such a tough period, really. Salford away in the Cup, the Easter weekend, and Catalans away. Like you say, it just seemed to conspire that we had those really tough away trips, pretty close around Easter and with the Challenge Cup as well. Then just to show our character and our determination and our ability, really. Like I say, we went up there and I don't think we were definitely good value for the win. We got away to a really good start. Should have been 24 points to 6 up with a couple of opportunities that we created. And like I say, but the quality that's in the whole KR side, and Travis Burns and Hodgson and Wayman, it's like you're always going to be on the back foot and know that you can never get too far away from them. They came back and scored 2 fantastic tries, I thought, in the second half. So it was a real tough game. It was a real good game, actually. Like, I think if you went there as a rugby fan and watched the game and didn't have to have the stresses of coaching the sides, then it was probably a really good game of rugby league.
And the game itself, I know we've talked week in week out about how far you've come on and not going backwards sort of thing, but when they went for that drop goal, were you surprised? And then did you still think, well, that's a compliment to you rather as such that they went for the point 1 point?
I think like I say, because it had been such a nip and tuck game and we'd been away from them, they got level with us, it was level for a little bit, they managed to just get in the nose in front. And I felt that they might not get another couple of opportunities to get down there because our defensive effort had been pretty strong. They probably thought that they might not get another chance to be that easy to get 1 point. But I was confident in our side. I knew there was a couple of opportunities in us. I had faith in our attacking shape and our attacking players to be able to produce a couple of opportunities for us in that game. And we stayed composed. And they're the pleasing things as a coach, that you can see the team understands itself and we stayed composed, we found some field position and we played. We didn't show up shop and we had a go, and it was pleasing for us as a group to see that we can come from those situations.
Well, Sean, your thoughts on the defeat at the Rhinos?
I thought our effort was there. I thought we tried really hard, a little bit dumb at times where we defended. But I think we was with them for large parts of the game. But a few of the tries they scored was just a bit of a bounce of the ball and a little bit unlucky. We weren't at our best, but Leeds are a very, very good team, and we needed to be at our best, and sadly we weren't. But I don't think we were far off. Not definitely not what the score suggests.
How big a blow was it, Lockers having to pull out?
Oh, it was a blow, just like it would be a blow if Mickey Mack pulled out or anybody else. You know, he's an important player to us, but you know, Tony Club's a good player. I thought Tony Club was outstanding in the game as well, alongside Anthony Gelling. So you miss fantastic players, but you know, we have to win games without him, and we did last year and we have done this year.
So what you're saying is the team that you put out and the guys on the bench, that was good enough to beat that Rhino side?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. You know, we could have had them. There was a period in the first half, after about 25 minutes, when they were rocking them, we should have taken advantage of that, and we didn't do that. And that shows what a quality team leads are. You know, you need to strike when you can, and we didn't do that.
Because I think what you're talking, there are a couple of breaks from Blake down the centre, and I suppose being critical, the support wasn't there when it was needed.
We did break them, and we put a lot of pressure on their line in the first half, and we never got over the trial line, and they had the bounce of the ball, and they had the referee's decisions. I thought the referee was poor, especially watching it back. Unbelievable decisions when you go 5-1 against a place like Leeds. You know, you're always going to be under the pump.
You've touched on Anthony Gelling, because of the situation, he's coming in and coming out sort of thing, and you can't play him at 19 or whatever. A big fist from him to carry on showing his heart to you.
Yeah, he's going to play again this week. I thought he was absolutely outstanding, and that's what it's all about. He's giving him game time, and you know, and the way he's acquitted himself, he's been up to Workington and done the tough stuff as well, and showed me a good attitude. So he's got a chance for me, and he's grasped it, and that's what the idea of it all is. You know, if now there's pressure on Dan Sergenson, there's pressure on Darryl Goulden and on everybody, so we're in a good position on our edges.
So you're going to Wall FC, they lost at the weekend. It appears at times that they can raise themselves against the better teams and blow it against the lesser teams, so could be a
busy and heavy night for you.
Yeah, it will be. It will be a real tough game, and it'll be a tough game for them. You know, we've got a few injuries, and you know, but the players what's coming in, they've all played well for me in the past, and you know, I'm looking forward to the challenge. And you know, if we do what we do best, and our attacking shape is really good, and we normally play well at all, then we'll not be far off.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
That's Betts and Wayne in Coach's Corner. I'll tell you one thing, Sean Wayne, blaming the referee for getting beat, come on.
It's just bad loser, isn't it? But, I mean, he seemed to suggest that Wigan were really close to Leeds, and I just didn't feel that they were at all.
Can't blame the referee, blame your players.
And he's got a few more to worry about, hasn't he, this week?
Let's dip our toes into the Championship, shall we? And Lee Centurion's on fire, still remain 100% unbeaten as they saw off again the challenge of Feversham Rovers, which ended John Bastian stay as head coach.
Yeah, this one was a bit more comfortable, to be honest. 4-4 at half-time, and you wouldn't have guessed at the eventual result, to be fair. Featherstone really piled the pressure on in the first half, couldn't get through again, it was like a repeat of the cup performance. And then second half, from the minute Ryan Briley hit a 40-20, Lee took ascendancy and really took Rovers apart as well. We saw Kay coming up with two tries, Pittman, McNally and Briley also scoring, Ridyard kicking 4 goals from 5 attempts, Briley hitting a drop goal, and in response Featherstone, they had tries from Halliwell and Kane, with Briggs kicking 1 goal.
Big draw for Workington, which was my pick of the action from that round.
Yeah, I think that's really good as well, because they were actually trailing at half time as well with Workington, so to fight back and get the 20-all draw, Murphy, Manfredi and Shackley getting the tries for them, Johnston, Holden and Tyra and Brachek responding for Halifax, and you know, that is a big result and suggests that Phil Vevers is starting to settle into his surroundings there, and I think that they'll start to rise up the league now.
Now Barrow Raiders never got the result, but they pushed Doncaster all the way, which suggests Bobby Goulding's getting to grips with life in Barrow as a rugby league coach.
They're getting closer, aren't they? The results are getting really closer. I think that they won't have that much longer to wait for the result that everybody's craving. And that
is Bobby the man for Barrow? Obviously he is.
Well, obviously the board think he is, because they've given him the job, haven't they? I mean, at the moment they're still some way adrift of safety, shall we say. They've only got 5 points from their opening 9 games, and you know, that's a little bit of a worry, but there is enough games left in the Championship season for him to turn it round and to get Barrow heading up the league. Although, like I said, Rochdale's been going really well at the moment, so I think it will take a good side to defeat Rochdale at the
good
minute.
Good to see Keithley didn't get too giddy about making the quarterfinals of the Challenge Cup by getting onto the winning road in the Championship as well.
Yeah, isn't it great to see Keithley back doing pretty well? They had a bit of a dodgy start to the season, but have started to put a couple of results together now. They were very good against Swinton, especially in certain patches of that game. And then in this latest league game, we saw Richie Barnett come up with a hat-trick. And Danny Jones, who we're going to hear from in a minute, also playing a real decent part in the performance.
You mentioned it in a minute. Shall we hear from him right now?
Oh, go on, then.
I think we shall.
With Keith the Cougars, Danny Jones, and Danny, that was a blood and thunder cup tie if ever there was one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think, no disrespect to Swinton there, I think we made it a little bit tough for ourselves. We got ourselves into a comfortable lead and we should have kicked on, but we kept feeding Swinton the ball, and you know, they've got a few strike players in their team, like, you know, Ian Watson and Richard Orchiard, who, you know, players can hurt you if you keep giving them the ball, and they managed to come back at us at a stage there, but we managed to hold them off and, you know, got ourselves into the next round, which is what we aim to do, so we're happy with that.
It was a great start. I mean, to score after just 2 minutes, did that almost make it too easy?
Yeah, we talked about that. You know, guys probably got into a false sense of security where first attack we scored and we probably went away from what we'd practice in training. But sometimes that can happen when you score early doors in a game. It's something, you know, we'll look at learning from in future, and hope we can put that right in future games.
And certainly the start to the second half, where you got out to that 26-10 lead, that was impressive, and Cougars were playing some really good stuff at the time.
Yeah, it was. We've got a real good attack at the moment. I think, you know, we're up there in the top three or four attacking stats in the league, because we've got a strike all over the field. But It's our defence at the moment that's the main source of concern, and we need to fix it up, and fix it up pretty sharply, because when we come against these top teams in our league, that's where we're not picking up the 3 points, because as defence just ain't good enough at the moment. But attacking wise, I think, you know, there's not many teams out there in our division that are better than us, so that's pleasing. But the defence is a bit of a concern at the moment.
You did what you had to do today, though, into the next round. Is that as far as you've been personally into the Cup?
Yeah, it is quarterfinals as far as I've gone. You know, you look at the divisions we're in and, you know, you look for a big team in the fourth round, but the way the draw went this year, there was a lot of Super League teams that got drawn against each other, so potentially you do have a chance to get there. I think Sheffield got there last year, did they? So, yeah, it's a good achievement. Challenge Cup, obviously, it's biggest competition in our game, so, you know, it's great to be in the hat for the quarter final.
Okay, it's been a bit of a special day for you as well, because you've kicked the 500th goal of your career, is that right?
I didn't know that. It's the first I've heard of it, actually. No one told me what stats I run. I was shouting at the lads to start scoring a bit closer to the sticks.
They were making it difficult.
Yeah,
they
was, and there was a bit of a deceptive wind out there today, which were a few of them looked over and then they were swirling out, but I was happy with the strike rate today, but I'd have been a little bit happy if a few more would have gone over. But 500, yeah, that's something I didn't know about, but yeah, something I'll probably look at later on when I've finished my career. But at the moment, I don't really look at them things, to be honest. But
that's fair enough. We'll get the plaque made for, you know, for like when you actually finish then. Hopefully it's a long while off.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Congratulations to yourself and congratulations to the Cougars for getting through to the next round.
Yeah, thanks very much. Cheers.
Now, as you can gather, that interview was after the win against Swinson in the Challenge Cup, which cemented their place in the quarter-final. Danny Jones, all right, he may not have known he'd done his 500th career conversion, but he did, and he got 6 at the weekend as well, so he smashed that barrier as well.
You know, with Danny Jones, he's a real honest professional, a really good professional player as well, and he seems to be enjoying life at the Cougars at the moment, and why not? They're on a winning run at the moment, and let's hope that it can continue.
In the Championship 1, some good results, wasn't there? And I think the action that stands out for me has got to be Hemel Staggs.
Hemel, they got a really good win against Gloucestershire All Gold, who are in the process of selecting their next coach. Brad Heppey stepped down from his position.
Have you got your name in the hat?
Really interesting. No, I decided I'd best not go for this one.
No, it'd be interesting to see who they do go for.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a crucial one, really, isn't it? Because obviously Brad Heppey has gone in there, he's set the club up, he's got it rolling along with Lionel Hurst over there. And the next coaching appointment is going to be a really important one to see if he can kick them on to the next level, because they have got some promise within that squad, despite, you know, being on a little bit of a loser at the moment. They've only won 2 of the first 6 games.
I'm quite impressed with the Stags. They're just quietly going around the business.
Yeah, they're doing well, really. They've won 3 of their 6 so far, drawn 1 and lost the other 2. They're not conceding a lot of points, but they're not scoring too many either, so it suggests that they perhaps need a little bit more firepower. But they have got a couple of interesting players within the ranks, but perhaps not as interesting as Oxford, because guess who's just popped up at Oxford? Ryan McGoldrick, once upon a time of Hull, Castleford, Salford.
Let's stick with former Super League, shall we? Guess who turned up at Gateshead at the weekend?
Go on.
The only one and only Jamie Rooney.
Jamie Rooney, of Wakefield fame.
Good signing for them, and he got a try as well, which is no surprise. He's full of points, he's Jamie Rooney. And Gateshead are full of points. He wrapped up half a century. Do apologise, against South Wales Scorpions, who were really finding life hard.
Nice to see Gateshead actually getting a few points. And
they've always been the whipping boys, haven't they?
They have, yeah. And there's a lad there at the moment, Payne, who's really suffered plenty of pain over his course of his career there.
I like what you did then.
Yeah, he started off at Castleford, moved up to Gateshead. He's been a real stalwart of that club, and I'm really
pleased.
Where
there's pain, there's no gain.
But there is this season.
And there is this season.
Yeah, because Stanley Jean's got him running through hoops, hasn't he, at the moment. But again, you know, with Payne, I think that he's been a really good player at Championship 1 level for several years now, and wouldn't look out of place in the Championship, in all honesty. For South Wales Scorpions, you're quite right, but I suppose they've been in a similar sort of situation to London in Super League, in the fact that they've had to throw this side together, and it's learning as they're going along, so it's a steep learning curve really for the Scorpions. I think there's more sting in the opposition than there is in the Scorpions this year, unfortunately.
Now we're Chelsea FC, we've got Mourinho. Lee Centurion's got Paul Rowley on. We've got a Paul Rowley double header as we hear from him after that big win against Featherstone.
Joined by Paul Rowley. Paul, that was an outstanding performance, particularly second half. You must be pleased.
Again, we were pretty machine-like in our approach, pretty hard. You know, again, we still won't allow complacency. The squad's applying pressure all the time. Tommy Goulding pulled out last minute today with flu. Not a worry. Sars come back in, you know, and Aggie pushed over to the right. Jamie Acton had got diagnosed yesterday morning, was in A&E with a cyst on his tonsils, which can be life-threatening. As a man, to man. I asked a serious question and he wanted to play, so I can only take a man for his word, and he chose to do that. Did an admirable job. But we've got good pressure. The squad is really good. He's good, and he's reacting well and positive. And you know, people not playing like Stuart Littler and Johnny Pownall and Maido, who's here today. You know, they're very positive and supportive in everything we do, and applying pressure. So it's good, and it's making good performances. And you know, in the press thing, there was a little talk about, you know, they feel capable and massively confident they could deny a bonus point, so to turn the tables after what's been over a few years has been quite a dominance from Featherstone, and a tough, it's still a tough place to go, but you know, you've been you consider a win here lucky and a one off rather than standard, but that word standard, we're setting our standards very high, and we expect to win wherever we play.
I just thought defensively was just really, really good today.
Yeah, well, we're having to be a little bit because our completions are ridiculously low in that first half. But what's happening there is I think we're taking a lot of art out of them, and you know, they're banging their head on a brick wall type of thing. So we grow from it, and they drop from it. But And you know, we drew parallels at half time from last week, and the areas were very similar on what we needed to improve, which was our finishes to our sets, our attention to detail in certain areas. Obviously, there's some technical issues we had to deal with, but you know, the major one was our completions. So once we crank that up by another 10-15%, we can make this game look pretty easy because we've got some talented players, and our structure allows us to express ourselves within them boundaries, and it all, you know, all boards for good rugby. Kurt Agati again was absolutely monstrous effort from him.
I know from, you know, like a media point of view, I'd probably pick Kurt as my man of the match.
He'd be my man of the match as well. I think he deserves it. We had talks a few weeks ago on where he needed to be and that, and he come to us a little bit undercut from Barrow, and it's took a while to get him up to speed and get back to doing what he does well. But he's probably one of the best footballers out there on the pitch. So when he starts getting the mix right and when to run and when to pass, he's a formidable player. But he's settled in. Coaching's pretty easy, really, and we've got a good group. We've got a good group of staff. We've brought all these staff together now, and the main attribute is that they're all good people, and they know how I want to manage my team, and they do it my way, and it's good.
100% record for Lee Centurions. Big question: who can beat them?
It's a big question. It is.
Can they go all the way unbeaten?
Well, I won't go that far, but it's actually the best start ever for Lee Centurions throughout the whole of the club career. So you know, really good. And also Kurt Haggerty getting in the Player of the Week award, a couple of other players in the Team of the Week. So, you know, long may it continue as far as Leithers are concerned everywhere.
Paul Rolio certainly doing the job. International games took place as well, as Fiji took on Samoa, the winners going into the Four Nations at the end of this season, and it was Samoa who claimed that prize with a 32-16 victory over Fiji. And in the Antarctic series, Australia proving too strong for New Zealand at 30-18.
Yeah, I knew you'd come to me about the Fiji and Samoa game because of the
have you been practicing
the struggles that we had during the World Cup with our pronunciations, and the fact that as well that their scrum half Panani Manu Malayali crossed for a hat-trick of tries.
You have been practising. I'm impressed.
I have been practising, yeah. There was also a further try for Tuamavi and Vido going over as well, with Inu kicking 6 goals. From an Australian point of view, they had to rely on a couple of late tries to edge the Kiwis. At one point it was 18-all, and then 2 tries in a 12-minute purple patch for the Aussies just tipped it their way. And they just always seem to come up with a knack of scoring at the right time, don't they, the Aussies?
What's that say for England's chances looking at those two games, but the 3 teams that are going to be involved with England?
That was the final hooter on loverugbyleague.com and Radio General, Hospital Radio for Warrington.